It's Advertising Week Social Club. I'm Zanger in Portland, Neubert in Lexington, Kentucky. We are wrapping up today. Question four. What is the question again?
Today's closing question is, what do you think the future holds for music and advertising? Is it bright, dim, something else?
Mm-hmm.
And the hashtag, as always, is AWSC chat.
I would be in the it can be bright category.
I think it's fun. It always involves perspective for me. People get so upset when something becomes popular and it's not necessarily good, or when something that is wonderfully brilliant doesn't right. become popular, and then upon reflection later, after it does become popular or still doesn't succeed.
Right.
You know, my friends love to tease me because I love 90s R&B. You put me on a desert island with some Boys to Men, I'd be all right.
Right.
But not everybody does.
Right.
And not everybody likes the way that music and advertising is. Not everybody's a fan of YouTube. Not everybody's a fan of, hell, social media.
Right.
And the intersection of everything, what we just talked to the good friend, a new AWSC family member from Brazil about, is how different cultures are.
Right.
How about how many differences there are within the same culture? So I always want to challenge when you know, we've got so many different things coming in right now. It's blinding. It's brilliant. It's going to be amazing. And then there's other people who say, music sucks. And the perspective in the moment is almost impossible.
Well, and again, this is a bit of a polarizing topic. It's music is one of the things in our lives, not just in our work lives, but in our lives, that is probably one of the most intimate things that you can share, one of the most intimate things you can talk about. People care deeply about music and where it shows up and how it shows up and whatever. You know, I think that it's going to be very bright if it is a tool that is used properly. So Whit Thompson says, I hope we see the end of the misappropriation of songs for poorly matched products. I think that that is a very, very, very good point. And I think that brands and agencies are getting better at it. And I think they're good at it now, but I think that there's room to really grow. And I think it really depends on a really solid music director at an agency that's just sticking to their guns, or a label or an artist that can articulate why a certain song should be licensed for a certain product. I think that there's this growing level of sophistication, and I think that the consumer is incredibly savvy and they're not easily hoodwinked, and I think that they see, well, that doesn't match. And
well, there's so much more information. You can Google lyrics to a song in 5 seconds and learn very quickly that maybe Kanye, maybe some of these other folks shouldn't be tied to something that's mom and pop shop cute, right?
The big
shtick that people get on is that there's some words floating around out there in the blogosphere that don't belong attached to the brand that it's representing.
Right.
And I think that that's just, it's a really interesting thing, because if you take something in context, even at the beginning of a movie like The Hangover,
right,
and they edit a Kanye song for the beginning of The Hangover, which if anything is going to be appropriate for Kanye to say whatever the hell's on his mind, it's going to be The Hangover.
Right.
Right. So it's just really interesting, right? Because I joke all the time about how did I know as a kid that I had to blow out the Nintendo disc, or that you could jam two of them in there and push? We had to figure that stuff out. Whereas right. today you just go to azlyrics.com and you know everything.
Right. I think that we're getting to a new level of sophistication and going back in history. So Whit does bring up, talking about CCR's Fortunate Son, Pro-American Anthem for Lee Jeans. That's dead on. There was a spot done for Telecom New Zealand by Saatchi & Saatchi, and I don't remember what year it was, but used Cat Stevens' Father and Son. Because I am a father of two kids, I watch this commercial. I get a little choked up. I get a little choked up, but it's sublime. It's perfect.
And that goes into what you were talking about earlier too. In as much as it's a completely different world. Back in the day, a jingle that was written for a soap company would become a full blown top 40 hit.
Right. So our friends at Share the Mic, so Kevin Mays, Patrick, 50s and 60s when ad music became full songs. The hit song by the Carpenters, We've Only Just Begun, it was a jingle originally written by Paul Williams. For those of you under, let's go ahead and say for those of you under 40, go ahead and Google that, who Paul Williams is. But he was very popular in the 60s and very popular in the 70s. But that song was actually a jingle for a California bank, and it turned into a full-on hit. Someone mentioned... I always get the acronym.
LMFAO.
Yes, LMFAO. You know, they're doing interesting stuff.
I think it was Gary Heath talking about loving what they were doing.
Yeah, and you know, OK Go is another interesting. I think their music is fantastic. I think I'm a big fan of the Go team. What they did with NFL with Play 60 was great. So I think that we are entering this new era where it's bright, but it's really incumbent upon making sure that the match is absolutely perfect. There has to be. I think it has to be a complete match. I don't think it can be just a slightly plausible connection.
And kind of touching base once more and just really hammering the nail on the idea of people's individual taste. You got Elizabeth O at L-O-V-E. She says, it's valuable exposure. As a fan of alt-rock / indie, I love to see my favorite bands kick top 40 butt once in a while. And this goes all the way back to the very first question that we asked today about the idea of selling well or selling out. Selling out or selling well, right? Because when you take some underground alt-rock indie band and they become super popular because of something that they do specifically for a pop culture-y, let's sell some things, move some product, make some money type of deal that they sign on the dotted line, that changes things.
Right. Well, I will tell you this. I think if you're an artist and having been in radio for a while and seeing artists who really genuinely want to, you know, really want things to work for them. And I remember Busta Rhymes said this. Listen to me. I remember Busta Rhymes said this once. He was doing an interview at the station that I was at, and somebody called in and said, "What advice do you have for young up and coming artists?" And he said, "Get the best deal that you can get. Just make sure that you are getting the best deal that you can get." I might be a long-haired hippie freak, but I am a big fan of people doing what they love and hopefully being compensated accordingly for it, especially for artists, because it is incredibly, incredibly challenging. It is unbelievably competitive. And if you have an opportunity to spread the word about just your talent in the advertising sphere, I say go for it. But again, the other side of that is you got to make sure it's a perfect match.
Yeah, and I mean, let's talk about, for every artist who's ever accused Russell Simmons of stealing from him, and let's be honest, if you look at some of the bad deals that people sign to get out of the hood and make some money and make a name for themselves, there was some crazy stuff that happened. But then on the flip side of that, in a completely different genre, you look at someone like Green River Ordinance. Took them 12 years to make it. They finally get their big contract deal. They're doing cross-country or international tours. They just left the label. They're gonna their next album is all on them. Mm-hmm. And the world, just like social media, just like smartphones, just like mobile technology and everything that goes with it, the world of music in and of itself is a dramatically different landscape than it has ever been.
Right.
I agree. It was a huge deal. Ray Charles was the one who, you know, I'm going to do it my way. This is what I'm going to get paid. I get all the, everything's mine. And everyone, the big shock and awe of the whole thing was Sinatra didn't even get that kind of a deal.
Right. Right.
And today the bands have much more control. It makes you wonder how much someone like, we talk about Stained, we touched on Green Day, for me is the biggest one in terms of change and also the reaction caused by that change. How much would a band like Green Day have felt like they had to change, shift, mm-hmm. morph, and do some things if they came out today?
Good point. All right, we're going to wrap it up. We went a little bit long today, but thank you very much. A very vibrant conversation. As always, we can't thank you enough for your contributions. You guys are amazing, and we will see you next week on the AWSC chat.